Good morning. Today I'll be reading James 3, 1-12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault and what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are stirred by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a road of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Good morning. I'm up here nervous as always. It's a good thing, though. It's a very good thing. So, you know, sometimes you get a message, and it's always from God, but you figure out why you got it. Well, this is one of those messages. And I was doing a devotion by Nielsen Searcy. It was on YouVersion Bible. It was not about the tongue, what I thought it was going to say. He touches on three truths. But first of all, let me get this here. I cannot even see that, so you excuse me. But my purpose today, as I go into those three truths, those are the scriptures. So you're looking at Matthew 12, verse 34, and I thank Nicholas for reading James 3. Because it definitely plays into what we normally think about the tongue. And a lot of times we say very wrong things that come out of our mouth. As I said, as I put it before, let's be cautious. What did I just do, Doug? Okay. Cautious about watch what we say. But it's bigger than just what we say negatively to ourselves or other people. And then Luke also kind of goes, Luke 6:43 kind of follows that same theme. But my purpose today, pointed to the wrong thing, is not to only encourage us about watching our destructive speech to one another. It is to encourage us to bring our speech and thinking into alignment with what God wants from us and for us. And so Nielsen Searcy, in this devotion I was looking at, he mentions three truths. And the first truth is that words are a gift from God. God created us. God created us. And if you look over the Tower of Babel, it says before, it says in Genesis 11, verse 1, that everything that man had one language and one common speech. That was God left. Even after he kicked us out of the garden, we were left that one language and one common speech. Remember that. What we say, that what we have is a gift from God. Now think of this. We have, when I ask you something, think about your speech. When I just asked you that, did you think in pictures or were you talking to yourselves in words? You were thinking in words, correct? You did not have a picture of a house or, I mean, you might have, but when I asked you to think about speech, all of us was thinking, having a conversation within our head. That's a little bit different than animals. Now, if you have a dog, if you say to the dog when you first get him, generally you want the dog to do something good, you add emotion to it. We do it with people too. But when you say bad dog, it's the emphasis, then the dog connects the words to the emotion. Good dog. With a human being, think you have a child. And that child has learned speech. And you're talking to that child and you say in a very calm voice, but something happens. And you look at that child and said, I am really disappointed in you. I'm really disappointed in you. That child ingests those words that they have learned, will feel that emotion. They'll look down, they'll look away. Now, you can add emotion to it. We do. But if you just say in a normal voice to a child that's learning speech, I am so disappointed in you, they really get it. We have a gift that God has given us, and we're told to use that gift. The second point that he talks about, Nelson Searcher, which I love the most, words can build up or tear down. Our words should be uplifting and encouraging. We all need encouragement. Too often, we would talk to somebody and would be mad, but remember, we are creatures that need encouragement. So, twice, God the Father himself spoke to people how delighted he was in his son, Jesus Christ. In Matthew 3, verse 17, and Matthew 17, verse 5, he spoke to everybody who was listening there. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Christ is a human being. Many times he went to prayer. Many times he knew what his disciples were doing, and he got a little down. I don't think he got depressed, but he got down. If God the Father did that, it is a practice that we should use, okay, to one another. It is a practice that we should say, edify people, edify our wife. For me, as I started this message this morning, it's funny. You know the adversary likes to hit you where you're going. But you think Nori and I had a little bit of intense fellowships as this was going on? But the Holy Spirit is good. Because I was doing this, because God was with me, he said, Michael, how do you give a message? But the point is, it's because I am broken that I'm able to give this message. It is because of that. But I don't just stay there. It's not good just to stop at that point. As Nicholas read, which I'm very thankful, I don't have to now read that scripture, because Nick has read it for us. The tongue is also fire. So caution, watch what we say. All right. There we go. So we can build up or tear down, but let's use it in love. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, many of us says, one part of it says, you know, you don't fly off in a handle, different versions, but you also, even in your speech, sometimes we get mad, whatever, but in your speech, watch it. Don't just fly off. Psalms 34, verse 13, keep our tongues from evil. These are what we're normally thinking about when we talk about the tongue. Proverbs 15, verse 4, but this is, the soothing tongue is a tree of life. Tree of life. Remember, words are a gift of God. The soothing tongue is the tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. So we can crush people. That's what James 3 is talking about. We have to watch what we do. We can crush each other. This is a body. Remember I said edifying. You build up a body. If your words are tools, are gifts, you use them to build each other up, build yourself up. The third truth that he talks about, what we say to ourselves and about ourselves matters. It matters to us, and it matters to God also. 2 Timothy verse 1, verse 7, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of fear. So some of us don't speak in fear. That's fine. We are to use our words in power. They're powerful. We're supposed to use those words. What we say to ourselves, what conversation do we have with ourselves? I don't know what conversations you have with yourselves. I know the ones I have with myself. Going through the last 30 years, 30, 40 years, those conversations were really quite often very negative and putting myself down. I didn't come out of what many of you know I came out of by that. It was when the Holy Spirit began to speak life into me, I began to speak life into others, and I shared that. You can't be afraid. Not afraid at all. God in that, Caleb as an example. So when they came into the promised land, Caleb boldly said, hey, when we came into this thing, God told me I was going to get this. I'm ready for it. He was an 80, 90-something year old man. And if you read the story, when he went up to that mountain, an 80, 90-year-old man, he kicked some tail. Read the story. He said he was as strong that day as the day they came in. He went up there and cleaned house with some enemies who were pretty aggressive against him. God didn't give us a spirit of fear and timidity. So remember that. So the first truth, you're a gift from God. The second truth, we can either build each other up or ourselves up or tear people down. The third truth, it does matter what you say to yourself. It does matter what you say to yourself. God said things for us. This is what he says. God spoke about an abundant life for us from the beginning. Jeremiah 20:11. I know the plans I have for you. The rest of that is to prosper you and not take you down. The years the locusts may have taken from you to give you back. That's God speaking to us. He knew the plans he wanted us to know about before. He definitely did that. But the most important truth, seek God first. Yes, of course, read your Bible, but make prayer regular yet not routine. I mean, not boring, but a very personal and passionate conversation with God, the tongue. What do you say to yourself? Remember I asked you before, when you asked you about what do you think about speech? In your head, you were having a conversation with yourself. Whether you pray out loud, whether you pray in silence. This is the most important truth about the tongue. You want to learn how to change your conversation? You want to learn how to change that negative into the positive? You want to know how to thank God for the gift he gave you? You want to know how to, instead of talking to my brother or sister negatively, say, God, I've been working with this. I've been fighting with this. What does he say? Come to me, lay down your heavy burden. Bring it to me. Talk with me. You'd be surprised the conversation that God has will want to have with you on your particular issue. Tailored for you. Whether you think as a young person or you think as an older person, what your conversation, what your situation is, rich or poor, whatever your ethnicity is, God talk to you because he is all-encompassing, male or female. This is the most important truth. I'm going to keep hammering on this because this is prayer. Yeah, Bible study is great. But Christ, think about his example. What was his routine as you read? He routinely would get up in the morning and go do what? Before he went into that desert for 40 days. I'm questioning I put to myself. For 40 days, he went into that desert. Do you think he prayed a little? Do you think Satan waited till at the end? He said, I'm going to wait till at the end. Or do you think for 40 days, the adversary tried to bring him down? Think about that. 40 days, no physical food, no physical water, but God built him up. To the point when he got to the end, Christ, because of the conversation with his father, when he got ready to go to the cross for me, what did he do? He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he sought God first before his trial in a very personal and passionate conversation. When you're talking to somebody and you're sweating what they really said, there's a condition where he literally was that passionate conversation about their sweated blood. That is a powerful conversation. Oh. 2 Chronicles 7:14, God tells us, if my people who are called by my name, seek him out. Proverbs 2, verse 4, and John 3, verse 3, 4, give the Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit without limit. So when you're in that conversation, there is no limit to what God can do for you in changing your tongue, your thinking about others, about the gift, about yourself. And of course, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Though I speak in tongues of men and angels and I love, I am resolving and gone. Though I give all I possess to poor and give my body to hardship that I may never boast, but have not love, I am nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envy. It is not boast. It is not self-seeking. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not lie in evil, but rejoices the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always perseveres. Love never fails. This is an important thing that the Holy Spirit God gives us. It is about love, people. My purpose today was to encourage us about watching our destructive speech. It was to encourage us to bring our speech and thinking in alignment with what God wants from us. And what's that alignment? Words are a gift from God. They can tear down or build up others. God intended us to use them to build up. They have a profound impact on our lives. God intended them to have a positive impact. We can master how we use our words by having a continual relationship with God that includes continued conversation with God. And the final is, who is God? Answer me, who is God? What is God? He tells us, that's his description for himself, right? He is love. That is what brings us. My brothers and sisters, caution. Watch what you say, not just to others, but to yourself as well. Because when you master yourself by the Holy Spirit, you will master what you say to your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. No, I don't. Hello, family. Hello. Michael was the good cop. I'm going to be the bad cop. So I'm going to ask you a question. When was the last time your mouth got you into trouble? Have you ever said something that you wish you hadn't? Or have you been on the receiving end of a biting, thoughtless comment? Have you ever felt wounded or have you ever felt slandered? You know, the Bible says time and time again, the scriptures address taming the tongue. Psalms 39 and 1 says, I will guard my ways, lest the sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. Can you imagine that? Your mouth is going so much you have to put a muzzle on your mouth. Colossians 4 and 6 says, let my speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. But there are times when we season words with pepper. So building and taming and even muzzling the tongue is no small matter. Our words are powerful. They have the potential to be a source of peace and encouragement, or they can become destructive and embittered. And this is why James devotes an entire chapter to controlling the tongue. But when we consider the words of Jesus in Matthew 12 and 34, he says the mouth speaks the things that are in the heart. Amen. So we can better understand why James spends so much time with this chapter. And he says, how we handle the tongue is a great indicator of the condition of our hearts. So that's the basic argument of James in the book, in the third book. So in James 3 and 2, he says, for we have all stumbled in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is perfect. He is a perfect man, and he's able to bridle the entire body. James knew this was impossible, so he took his pen to paper to warn us about the power of the smallest member of our body. He describes the tongue as fire, a world of iniquity, a restless evil full of deadly poison. That's James 3, 6, and 8. And that's why the old saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, is not true. Words hurt. Words can wreak havoc and mayhem. But if family, if Christ was speaking through us, we wouldn't come out with all of the rubbish and all of the foolishness that we all say at times. So let me tell you about a situation I had when I was slandered. Many, many years ago, I was the vice president of our local PTA. I loved being in the PTA because we were working with children. We were helping to expose them to a lot of things. I loved it. The president of my PTA was a very beautiful, tall girl, but she was a very troubled girl. That February, we decided to do a Valentine's Day party for the entire school. And the principal came up with a suggestion that the president did not like. So she says, well, I'll go talk to the principal. And I said, no, don't do that. You know, she made the decision. Let's go with it. If it fails, it fails. It's no big deal. She said, no, I got to go talk to the principal. So she goes, I get my coat and I get my son. Five minutes. I go into a hallway and there's complete mayhem. The office staff is hanging out the door. They're cussing. The principal has lost all of her composure. Her hair is all over her head. My president is walking backwards, swinging her coat, knocking down little kids. They're going, hey, what happened? These kids, are you stepping on me? Now they're crying. They can't get up because she's swinging a coat. She's cussing from one end of this hallway to the other as she walks out the door. She looks at me before she leaves, and she says, Vanessa, you put this party together yourself. I looked at all these kids on the floor, teachers running, trying to pick the kids up, and she's out of the door, going off. I went home, I called Pastor High, he prayed and I cried, and I went back to school the next day. The fifth and sixth grade teachers heard about all the commotion. They sent their boys down to help me. And we put tables into the gym. We put chairs into the gym. We decorated as best as we could. They really spent the whole day with me, and they helped me a lot. About this party was going to start at 3, and about 2:30 or so, the doors to the gym opened, and parents brought food and bowls of food and trays of food and the ice cream and the potato chips. Then the cake walked in and all this party just came together. The kids came all dressed up. The girls were dressed in stuff they should have went to a club in, but that's a different conversation. But the kids had an absolute ball. And then here comes the president. She's walking down. She went to the boys, and they just loved her, and they were just smiling. The men were saying, hallelujah, because she put on the tightest pair of jeans she could find. And then the party was an absolute success. But her whole objective was to sabotage this party. She didn't want it to go on. So as the party went on, the kids really enjoyed it. They talked about it for days and days. And the more they talked about it, the more upset she became. So somebody had to pay. It was me. So she found the teacher, and over time, she talked to this teacher. She lied. She castigated me. She just talked about me. And then we were getting closer to the end of the school year, and suddenly I was ushered into the principal's office. And we went into her inner office, and she slammed the door. And she said, "Sit down, Burton." And I said, "Wow, what's wrong?" And she said, "There's a problem here, and we're going to figure out what this problem is right now." So she says, "You tell me what's wrong." And I said, "I don't know." And she went to the teacher, and she said, "You tell me what's wrong." And she said, it's the president's conversation. I'll let her tell you." So she said, "Well, she didn't really say it. You know, I was just kind of, Vanessa, you know you my girl. I didn't mean to say that about you, girl." What was the lie? She told this teacher that I was going to take off my earrings, put some grease on my knuckles, take my shoes off, and wear her out before the end of the school year. Me. Me. So when I saw this woman outside of the building, I had to take a deep breath. I had to pause. Because I didn't want to sink to her level. I didn't want to sink to her level. So I, in no uncertain terms, told her to get out of my life. I didn't live with that kind of confusion. My tongue was a little more Christian than that. And that was something that she needed to learn, but I couldn't teach her that. She was too far gone. I couldn't teach her that. But I had to use a Christian tongue in spite of, because you know what Michelle Obama said? When people go low, you go high. You go high. So that's exactly what I had to do. Because had her plan worked, not only would I gotten kicked out of the PTA, but if she had managed to get us, me and this teacher, to have some kind of scuffle of any kind, the principal had every right to call the police. So not only did she blacken my name, not only did she assassinate me, my freedom was in jeopardy because of what could have happened. I was so upset with this girl, I didn't know what to do. But it reminded me of James, and James says, the smallest member of our body is like life and death. The power of the tongue is like life and death. We can rip the peace out of someone's life by assassinating their character. We can kill people softly with gossip and lies. We can devise a frontal attack with words we cannot take back. So that's why I love this Scottish proverb that says, keep your tongue a prisoner and your body will go free. Because you know why? The tongue is strong. It has no bones, but it's strong. Okay? And you have to be careful with your tongue because it has amazing power. So, how do we tame the tongue? First, go to God. If you have been saying something, you have a phrase or a joke, a bad joke, gossiping, you cannot stop doing, take it to God. Ask God to help you. Sometimes you may even have to go on a word fast. You know what a word fast is? That particular day, you say, I'm not saying this word today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm not telling this joke today. Help me, Heavenly Father, do this. And my next point is, guard your mouth. Ask God to zip it if he has to. Guard your mouth. Listen to your words because there's joy and bitterness in your words. Be accountable for what you say. Pay attention to your feelings because your feelings may determine the words you really want to say. So guard your feelings. Next, the power to bless and to curse comes from our mouths. So get busy. Bless yourself. This is what I suggest you do. Get into the mirror and say, "Woo, you are wonderfully made. You are a child of God, unique in all my ways. There is no one like me. I am highly favored. I'm made in the image of God, and I am beautiful. I am handsome. You know why? Because as we leave these doors, negativity is right out here. We need to pour some life into ourselves sometimes. I know we have to pour life into children. I know we have to pour life into our family. But sometimes we need to pour life into ourselves. Bless yourself. Put some positive words in yourself. Okay, I'm fat, but all right, I'll be all right. Okay, I'm skinny, but I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Okay, I'm older, but so what? So what? Put some positivity into you, because if you don't, all that negative will eat you alive. Because as I said, it's right out the door. So before you leave your door and face all of the fake news and face all of the truth that people don't understand what truth is anymore, you have girded yourself. You have strengthened yourself to go out into this negative world and to be taken care of by the word of God. So listen, as I close, ask the Lord to hold your tongue. Help him with your heart. Turn your heart to God through your tongue. That's devotion. Allow your speech to be seasoned with God's grace, not with pepper. Uplift and glorify the name of the Lord. Speak encouraging words to people. Speak encouraging words to yourself. Edify. Inspire. Respond to people with loving words. And then smile at them. We don't smile enough. People don't know if you're real or not because we're not smiling. So respond with a smile and seek to gain control of your tongue so that it can be used for God's glory. In God's glory alone. Amen. 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 Let me pray. Dear, great, and wonderful Father, we come to you, Father, on this beautiful day, thanking you so much. Thanking you, Heavenly Father, that we have learned that we need to control our tongues, great God. Knowing, Heavenly Father, that our words matter. And I just pray to you, Heavenly Father, that we learn to speak life into ourselves as well as our family and friends, that we learn, Heavenly Father, to speak life into each other, because there's so much negative out there, Heavenly Father, but we are standing on the promises of God. And I just thank you, Heavenly Father, for the two messages. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the love that we have put into this, Heavenly Father, and the love that we have in this congregation. And I just pray, great God, that you bless everyone. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you strengthen us all. And I just pray, great God, for this entire congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.